Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the Old Testament, to the book of Obadiah. Okay, if you've not found it yet, look real smart. Look at your neighbor. Some of them have not found it either. Find the book of Daniel and keep turning right. Book of Obadiah. Obadiah is a unique prophet in the Word of God. We know that Bible students and stuff have said, thank you, brother, that the smaller books in the Bible are called minor prophets. Not minor in importance, but minor in that the smallness of their writings. Of course, Obadiah is like the book of 3 John, I believe. There is no chapter in it, just verses, because it's all one consistent thought here that Obadiah brings. Now, his message that he is bringing is an important message, and yet in the latter days will be fulfilled, and God fulfilled that, and we'll look at that in the book of Jeremiah, how God rained judgment on Edom. And that's what it's speaking about here, the judgment on Edom. Edom simply is the descendants of Esau. If you remember, and I can't take for granted, but I don't have the time to bring you up to date, but Esau was Jacob or Israel. His name was changed to Israel's brother, and they were always at odds with one another, constantly. There was infactions and stuff and conflict between Jacob and Esau. And Esau's descendants, which became Edom, or is known as Edom, was always picking on Israel, was always trying to peck away at the children of God. In fact, they were a great enemy of the people of God. And I want to preach on that enemy tonight as we look in the scriptures. If you found your place in Obadiah, let's stand out of respect and reverence for the Word of God. And we'll read a few verses here and then you can be seated. The Bible says in the book of Obadiah, and look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "The vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised." That was God's opinion of Edom. "Thou art greatly despised." Why? "The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the cliffs of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord." I want to preach. A lot of my titles, amen, are Bible thoughts. I've not become good enough preacher, amen, to make up titles that are so catchy. So I want to preach from verse number 3 on the thought, who shall bring me down? Who shall bring me down. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you, Lord, to help us tonight. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you'd help us to convey divine truth. Thank you for each one that is here today in this service. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful services you gave us on the Lord's Day. And Lord, it's so good to see Brother Dan and his people here tonight. And thank you, Lord, for each visitor that's here. Lord, people don't realize there's people sitting right here that is an answer to somebody's prayers. That's the reason they're in the pew tonight. And Lord, I thank you. And Lord, I want to praise you, Lord, for being so good to us. And Lord, helping us, Lord, tonight. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you just might use the preaching of the Word of God tonight. And Lord, I pray that you speak to us and through us. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Brief overview. Of course, Edom is the enemy of God's people. Jacob and Esau were no doubt twins born soon one after the other. Jacob and Esau, we even find out that Jacob caught the heel of his brother, amen, at his birth. And they're all through their life, amen, there was conflict among the two. Listen, of course, God blessed Jacob, and the blessing was through the line of Jacob, and his name was even changed. And I don't have the time to go through that. There's a lot of people that needs their identity changed, amen. Jacob, amen, was a supplanter and heel snatcher and listen, a deceiver. But thank God for the day that God changed his name and made him a prince with God. Hallelujah. You know, that's what God can do for you tonight. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But all through his life, and even the descendants of Esau, always persecuted and enjoyed and wanted to annihilate the descendants of Jacob. They hated them. Esau, or Edom tonight, as he's called in our text, is a picture of our own pride. Esau was a prideful individual. I'll not be told who to marry. The Bible says that who he married was a grief to his mother and father. I'm not going to be told what to do. Esau was a fornicator. He was a perverse man. He was bent on his own pride. And I want to preach on the enemy of God's people and the enemy of everybody that's here tonight, pride. Pride. Who shall bring me down to the ground? The problem of pride. The problem of pride, amen, is, listen, friend, it is found in everybody's heart. It is enrooted and embedded in your very nature. We love ourselves. We make much of ourselves. We think a lot about ourselves. Every one of us do. The Bible says in the Word of God that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Pride is enrooted in every one of our hearts. See, it's personal. He said, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Verse number 3, thine heart. It's rooted in your heart. The Bible talks about the sin of the heart. Mark chapter 7, the Gospel of Mark chapter number 7 talks about the sin of the heart. You may say, well, I'm very self-righteous. I'm very upstanding. I don't do this. I don't do that. I don't participate in this. And I'm against everything that the Bible has shown me is wrong. But I'm going to tell you, if all you're trusting in is your self-righteousness, you are full of pride, and it's going to bring you down to the ground.
Amen.
I'll tell you what's in your heart. The Bible reveals it in Mark chapter 7, verse number 21. Look at verse number 20. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Thus saith the word of God. Now people cop out on they don't like my attitude when I preach. I don't like it sometimes either. But I'm going to tell you one thing, friend. What I preach is the word of God. And what is in your heart is manifested in your life, whether anybody ever sees it or sees the fruit of it or not. Pride. Pride. P-R-I-D-E. Did you get it? P-R-I-D-E. C-N-S-I-N. It's all about me. Buddy, we're ate up with it today. We are ate up with it, friend. We're ate up with pride. Selfies. If you're just being on that, I'm not against you taking pictures, amen. I'm not taking it that far. But I'm going to tell you what. If all you're doing, amen. You see them all the time. I mean, they look ridiculous, amen. That stuff is all, a lot of it is promoted by pride. How many people's following me? I've always said it, amen. I've been saying it for years. You say, how many followers you got, Brother Rose? I try with the help of the Lord to center my life and my ministry around the cross. And there ain't too many people left there. Pride. We're full of pride. It's about me. It's about self. It's what I can attain. It's about my fame and my acclaim. God, help us and deliver us from pride. It's a sin of the heart. And by the way, it is a sin that is very hateful to God. In Proverbs chapter 6, you say, well, God loves everybody, don't he? Well, there's some things he hates. And the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 16 and 17, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look. I want to say preachers are the world's worst. I think you ought to act like a preacher. I think you ought to display yourself like a preacher. I still think you ought to dress like a preacher.
That's right.
Amen? Yes, sir. Amen. I don't come up to the pulpit, amen, in flip-flops.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. What kind of service are you going to have wearing flip-flops? I know what kind of service you're going to have. Flip-flop. Mm-hmm. Amen? But we've got away from that today, amen. Listen, we want to fit in. We want to have a proud look. We want to be accepted. Amen. God's men, for the most part, have never been accepted. In fact, listen, the world hates them.
That's right.
I don't try to fit in. Some of you are my friends and have showed friendship to me in this church and being very hospitable to me. But that is not my ulterior motive. Just to get you and gain your friendship.
That's right.
If it comes between me preaching the word of God, David, and gaining a person's friendship, amen, that friendship is going to have to go out the window. If it calls calling the word of God and just having a proud look and just trying to gain meetings and fame and acclaim, God's going to set himself against that kind of individual, amen. He hates a proud look. Amen. The Bible says a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, he that soweth discord among the brethren. Amen. God hates it. Amen. What was the sin of Satan? In Isaiah chapter number 14. Isaiah chapter number 14. The Bible says in verse number 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. I'm trying to tell you, the path you're on is leading you straight to hell. It's where it's leading you. And just like Satan said, I want the prestige. I want the acclaim. I want the throne. In fact, I want to sit above God's throne. That's what people are trying to do. Through their attitude and through their arrogance, they want to pull God off the throne. That's why they will not bow to his lordship. That's why they will not repent. That's why they will not yield to conviction. They hate God. They hate the things of God. They're proud and arrogant about themselves. And they say, I'm going to make my own way. I'm going to go my own way. And you're going to end up in hell just like Lucifer is going to end up one day.
Uh-oh. Come on. That's right.
Pride is sometimes hard to detect in oneself. That's why it's important to get under preaching. Mm-hmm. Not any kind of preaching, Bible preaching. I like all kinds of preaching. You don't have to scream. People think I'm hung up on that, amen. I preached someplace and I didn't scream much, amen. I promise. Amen. Amen. I'm not hung up on that. I like all kinds of preaching. But there is a need for old time Bible preaching. Bible preaching. That the Lord will use to convict the sinner, to dig you up. He said in this text of scripture, in verse number 3, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Amen. You don't think you've got a need. There's people here tonight that they don't think they need to be saved. They're very self-righteous. They're very self-satisfied. The pride of thine heart has deceived thee.
Uh-oh, come on.
God's never going to use any of you. And I thank God. I just rejoice. I tell you, to God be the glory. And I've said it before to Brother Stephen's face. He not only has the testimony he's saved, he totally looks different. He looks different, amen. There is a glow about his countenance, Brother Tim. God did something in your brother's heart, Brother Tim. Thank God for that. But I'm going to tell you, if we're not careful, even after we've been saved by the grace of God, our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We want the credit, Brother Luke. Zane, we want the glory.
That's it.
I want my flesh, can I say it that way, Brother Haynes? It wants to be bragged on. Tell me how good I am.
Right, come on.
Amen.
Some of you preachers, I mean, you preach sometime and nobody says nothing to you, amen, for about 3 weeks.
Come on.
And I'll say when Brother Pastor John preaches, when God touches your heart, moves in your heart. Sometimes he needs to hear that what God, Brother Moore, listen, what God did in your heart and life, because the devil will be working on him thinking he ain't helping nobody. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you what, we love that. We feed on that. I mean, I'm saying we just love it. We grovel in it.
Yeah, that's right.
Pride, buddy.
Yes, sir.
A lot better preachers than me. A lot better preachers, amen, that can bring out deep truths out of the Word of God, amen. Preach for years and years and years. And listen, friend, that pride got in their heart. Brother Nick, they thought it was all about them. And they thought they was moving the congregation, brother. And they thought they was bringing people that listened to Christ. And I'm going to tell you, it got them. That pride, we better stay. Amen, Brother John, humble before the Lord. So you say, I don't know if you can help me or not, Brother Rose. Well, you're preaching like this up in New York. Amen. If we feel that we are what we ought to be, then we will remain what we are. Let me say that again. If we feel that we are what we ought to be, then we will remain what we are. I'd like to say I wrote that, amen, but Tozer wrote that. As most preachers, amen, they'll read it, amen, take credit for it, amen. I'll just tell you, amen, who said it. But you know what? If we're not careful, even as a believer, that pride, just like Edom, just like Esau, begin to creep in our heart. And you know what God does, Brother Haynes? At God, amen, he sets himself, stand up, Brother John. He sets himself, he says, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble, amen. Hey, are you at arm's length or farther from God?
Come on.
God resisteth the proud. I'm going to tell you what's one of the barriers between you and God. We can enumerate
resisteth the proud.
Uh-oh.
But he gives grace unto the humble.
Yeah.
Amen. Edom, Esau, was proud and arrogant. He said, who's going to bring me down? There's been so many times that I've overcome. And listen, friend, I've attacked Jacob, and I've attacked Israel, and they constantly was trying to impede them and would not let them alone. I'm going to tell you all throughout my life, listen, friend, God gives you victory, Brother Stephen, over this area, and this area pops up, and you get victory here, and this pops up. I'm telling you, that old man, I'm telling you before the Lord, that old man is trying to push through all the time. Now, God reckon the body dead. That's what the Bible says.
Right.
He cuts that new man loose, reckons the body dead. On the cross, it died. But listen, friend, I still got an old nature that Buddy tries to finger through all the time. You better watch that pride. You better watch that pride. Amen. Amen. The problem of pride. How about the power of pride? Look in Psalm 73. Psalm 73 and verse number 6. The power of pride. The Bible says in Psalm 73 and verse number 6. The Bible says, therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. You know what's got you bound down? One of the things got, oh, Brother Rose, it's adultery. I just can't break from my sins and I can't make a clean break. But a lot of it's rooted in pride. A lot of it's rooted in pride. What will people say? I'm a preacher. I'm a preacher's wife. I'm a head leader in the church. I'm a Sunday school superintendent. But listen, pride has got you compassed as a chain, amen. It's bound you up. I pray this week, amen, that God, the Holy Ghost, everywhere you go, you'll hear the clanking of the chains. The clanking of the chains. But thank God I'm glad. Brother Maury, he's the one that can break the chains. Amen. Hallelujah. He can break the chains of your bondage. Amen. If you'll come to him by faith. Praise his wonderful name. He says there in our text, in Obadiah, let me look at it. Amen. I'm there. Obadiah, look at the power of pride in this as we're typing Esau and Edom about the pride of their heart. The Bible says, where did they dwell? The Bible says in verse 3, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock. They dwelt in a rock fortress. Amen. Now some say, as I've studied, that their capital was an impregnable rock fortress. And some of you know it. You've seen the Red Rock City of Petra or Petra. And they dwelt right in the rocks. In fact, God is going to use, I don't want to labor on this, but somehow God is going to use that during the tribulation period when that dragon, listen, opens up those waters and opens up that judgment that he's trying to destroy the child, which speaks of Israel. Listen, friend, and listen, God is going to open up the earth, amen, and receive that water, and they're going to flee. They're going to flee to that red rock city of Petra, amen.
Right.
It's
So God's going to use it, amen. But they were very much proud that they had a fortress that they thought could not be penetrated. It was a notable fortress and a stronghold, amen. You know what pride is in some of your lives? You ought to look up here. You don't have to like it. You know what some of you's problem is? Your stronghold in your life? Pride. You say, Brother Rose, this ain't no revival message, amen. If we're going to have revival, the Bible says, number one, we're going to have to humble ourselves. So we're going to have to take the gospel can, amen. Hallelujah. One of them big old fellas, amen, off the battleships, amen, and shoot a broadside right against the problem, pride. A notable fortress and stronghold. Didn't the Bible say in 2 Corinthians 10 verses 3 and 4, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of Christ and bring it in subjection? I'm telling you, pride is a stronghold. It can be a stronghold in all of our lives. Look what I've attained. Don't you know who I am? Don't you know what I've produced? I'm going to tell you one thing, friend. You can thank God you get the next breath.
That's right.
You ain't nothing without Him. I ain't nothing without Him. And God's got to humble us, friend. Pride is a stronghold. Let me read that. I don't believe I quoted all that or didn't quote it quite right. I want to get that right. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, that for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not a carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. Amen. Amen. We need to humble ourselves. Amen. But Edom said, I've got an impregnable fortress. Nobody can touch me. My fortress is in Petra. But I tell you what, Brother Haynes, over the years of being saved, over 33 years, just a couple weeks ago, that God saved me by the grace of God. Listen, friend, I would think that I'd get victory over some of this stuff. But I'm telling you, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are the contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. I'm going to tell you, friend, we have to bring it into subjection, amen. We have to die daily, amen, out to ourselves. I used to look myself in the mirror, amen, before I'd shave. I'd say, you are not your own. You are bought with a price. You are to glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, I'm not talking about self-motivation. I mean self-reformation. There's people here tonight. They're trying to reform themselves and trying to do better. I'm telling you, you can't do better without God redeeming you, amen. You can't do better unless God changes you. You can't do it.
That's right.
That's good. And God's got to break that pride, friend. He's got to somehow storm the fortress. And buddy, He will. Some of you getting a meeting like this, buddy, I'm going to tell you what. You think he's storming the bulwarks. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Ain't it a blessing, Brother Tim? Listen, friend, we ain't trying to aggravate you necessarily. But I tell you, I count it a real honor when people say, the Lord's a working on me, Brother Dan. The Lord's a drawing me. The Lord's tearing up my tater patch. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. Who shall bring me down to the ground? In history, as we've already said, the Edomites were descendants of Esau. And in history, the Israelites at that time were never able to completely subdue them. And I'm going to tell you, you are not going to be able to subdue your own wicked pride without God's help. Mm-hmm. You can come to an altar. You can pray. You can commit. I'm not throwing off. I've saw people say, pray and I'll pray that God will fill you with the Holy Spirit and all that. And listen, friend, all that in its place is good. But I'm going to tell you, without God's help, young lady, you will never overcome the inner, enrooted pride in your heart.
That's right.
We sometimes really think we're something, buddy. Girls, we don't watch out, man. It'll be a competition. Amen. Who's the prettiest? But listen, friend, you don't have to have the most physical beauty to have a problem with pride.
Yeah.
Are you listening? May God help us with this problem of pride. Israel was always against Edom. Edom was always against Israel. The Bible says, I tell you why you have conflicts. I tell you why you have conflicts in your home. I tell you why you have conflicts and you can't accept authority. I tell you why you have conflicts with your church. I tell you why you have conflicts with your pastor. I tell you why you have conflicts with the Word of God. Because only by pride cometh contention. That's what the Word of God says. Proverbs 13:10.
That's what it is.
Only by pride cometh contention. Psalm 137 and verse number 7. Psalm 137 and verse number 7. Notice what the scripture says here. Amen. Psalm 137 and verse number 7. I'll tell you how wicked Edom was. Listen, many times God would use the enemies of God's people to come in, and they had forsaken God, and they had went into an apathetic condition and a lethargic condition, and then they rode on down the road to idolatry and on to apostasy, and God would use the apple of his eye, and God would use the enemies of Israel to come in and totally devastate them. And during one of the instances that the psalmist noted in Psalm 137 verse number 7, here's what Edom was doing. They was watching, amen, as the people of Babylon was overcoming Israel. And Edom sat on the sidelines with their pom-poms. Get them! Kill them! Destroy them! Raise it all to the ground! You think pride's your friend? Pride's your downfall. Pride is trying to destroy you. Pride is raising up in your life and trying to decimate your character. Here's what he said. The psalmist said, remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem,
who said, raise it even unto to the foundation thereof. Edom was so wicked, he watched, remind you, it was his own descendants. I want to preach a little bit here. I'm going to tell you, your own flesh and blood, amen, through the pride of their heart, if God don't help you and deliver you, amen, they will rejoice at your demise. There's people, Brother John Mark, that's looking on and watching your life and watching the Ashwood family and watching the Black Creek Baptist Church. And Brother Moore, they love nothing better, amen, to see the whole thing decimated, amen, because they're full of pride.
Yeah, that's right.
And they rejoice about it.
Yeah.
I know the devil would.
Uh-huh.
The devil relishes, amen.
Mm-hmm.
The devil relishes taking evangelist kids.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And raising me.
Right.
And grinding them into the dirt.
Yeah.
He loves taking preachers' kids.
Amen.
And faithful church members. And he stands around like him and says, destroy them. Destroy them. And the devil just gloats when we get puffed up, whether it be preachers or parishioners, if you'll pardon that word. He doesn't care, amen, who it is that gets puffed up in pride, because he knows that's going to be your demise.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to relish in your demise.
Yes, he will.
Who shall bring me down to the ground? The position of pride. The Bible says in our text, we're trying to cut this verse up small for you. The Bible says that they dwell in the clefts of the rocks, whose habitation is high. They got a high and lofty habitation. You ever notice, amen, sometimes people show up and they kind of say, where's the spiritual people sat in this church? They sat on this side or this side. Where's the amen corner? Where's the amen corner? And they act so very spiritual. And I'm going to tell you, well, if you're filled with the Spirit of God, it don't take you long to see right through that business.
That's right.
The position of pride. Well, why don't they let me speak? Why don't they let me sing a song? Why don't they let me have a position? Why don't they let me be a deacon? Why don't they let me be the pastor? Amen.
Oh, yes, sir.
Now, I have the itch to preach as much as anybody. I mean, I scratch all the time. This is a preacher that don't want to preach, amen, ain't a preacher. He just ain't a preacher. You're not a preacher just because you stand up in the preacher's fellowship and introduce yourself. You're a preacher because you got a volcano on the inside, and I can't help but preach, amen. I can't help it. I know I'm undignified. I know I slobber on people. I know I sweat. I know my glasses are fogged up, but I'm going to tell you, nobody asked me to preach. God called me to preach. I said yesterday, I don't have no pedigree to preach. Mommy and Daddy didn't say, I think you ought to preach. God called me to preach, amen. A lot of people don't want me to preach, but I'm going to preach, amen, with God's help. Amen. It was an exalted, lofty position. Some of the surrounding cliffs of Petra were possibly 2,000 1,000 feet high. And so they had an exalted lot. Who's going to overcome us? Who's going to take us? Well, you've got to come in through this ravine to even get to Petra. Who's going to throw me down? Who's going to cast me down? Notice what it said in verse number 4. Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. Amen, friend. What's the wrong perception of pride? The wrong perception of pride. Who shall bring me down to the ground? The Bible says, he that exalteth himself shall be abased. But whoso humbleth himself shall be exalted. When you get saved, you don't get saved because you're high and lofty. You got to come down from your perch just like Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, amen, was up a tree. He had to come down a tree. He heard about, hallelujah, the Savior. Praise God. He come down out of his tree. He was an exalted position in Rome's sight. He was a tax collector. In fact, he scooped a little bit off the side and enjoyed the dividends. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. Amen. That day when Jesus come along, he heard about him and he got up there. He's little of stature, you see. But thank God, Jesus said, come down. Amen. I'm glad for the day when I came down. Amen. Come off your perch. Some of you are 2,000 foot high. Come off your perch. Amen. Who shall bring me down? Hallelujah. I'll tell you who will bring you down. God will bring you down. Mm-hmm. Self will bring you down. Yes, you're heading for a fall.
Yeah.
Amen. That's right.
Let him that think he standeth take heed lest he fall.
Yes. Come on.
I'll never do that. I'll never get involved with that. I'll never run off with the pianist or the oar. I'll never do that.
Come on. Come on.
I saw much better men, brother Jacob, than me. Amen. That, listen, their lives are shambles because they got so exalted in pride. They got so exalted in pride that, listen, their own flesh brought them down. My flesh is wicked. There ain't one good thing I got to say about my flesh. If it wasn't wrong, amen, I'd cuss it a little bit. And this is even being recorded. Amen. Get that off the tape, amen. My flesh is wicked. It's wicked. It's vile. Amen. Now you may got yours eradicated, amen. But I'm going to tell you, all the rest of us are struggling. Amen. And if I'm not careful, amen, Brother Sam, pride will exalt me to such a position, and the farther up you go, the farther you'll fall, amen. So I'm glad for the day when God the Holy Ghost deemed it necessary to convict me of my sins and the root of my pride. And I that day I didn't care what anybody else thought. Everybody else thought, me and my wife both, they thought we were already saved. There was people that told us. In fact, they told me, don't be surprised when you get to heaven, find out you were saved at the ages of 9 and 10. I said, no, I know I got saved yesterday, amen. 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 There wasn't no doubt about it, amen. I know when I got saved. Do you know when you you got saved, when God humbled you, I'm going to tell you, every sinner that comes in by faith must humble themselves under the mighty hand of God. Amen. Amen. As you study the Word of God, you find out there were many Edomites through the Word of God, but it was amazing to me in my study that King Herod was of the descendants of the Edomites. He was so full of pride and of himself. When he heard about the Christ child being born, he said, "We're not going to have no usurpers here. The King of the Jews, the King of all the earth." He said, "Them wise men, you go and tell me where he is, and I'm going to come and worship him." Though he was going to see him, we find out, amen, everybody two and under, according to the book of Jeremiah, in the gospel there, amen, he killed all. He meant to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to tell you one thing. You're not going to topple God's throne. Mm-hmm. And Herod couldn't do it, and you're not going to do it.
That's right.
But listen, friend, it won't stop the pride of your heart from trying.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I'm not going to read all this, but let's look how God judged Edom. It's found in the gospel in Jeremiah chapter 49. Jeremiah chapter 49, and God tells us how he was going to judge Edom. The Bible says, verse 7, concerning Edom, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, is wisdom no more in Teman? Is counsel perished from the prudent? Is their wisdom vanished? Flee ye, turn back, dwell deep, O inhabitants of Dedan, for I will bring the calamity of Esau upon him, the time that I will visit him. If grape gatherers come to thee, would they not leave some gleaning grapes? If thieves by night, they will destroy till they have enough. But I've made Esau bare. I've uncovered his secret places. He shall not be able to hide himself. His seed is spoiled, and his brethren, and his neighbors, and he is not. Leave thy fatherless children. I will preserve them alive, and let thy widows trust in me. For thus saith the Lord, behold, they whose judgment was not to drink the cup have assuredly, drink of the cup, have assuredly drunken. And art thou he that shall altogether go unpunished?" You think you're going to get by? Now, it took years, but God used the man of God, Jeremiah, to say, God's going to finish Edom. And God's going to destroy them. You think you're going to get by? God make them all drink out of the cup. You think you're going to be unpunished? Some of you in your self-righteousness think you are. You don't think you're going to answer. "Thou shalt not go unpunished, but thou shalt surely drink of it. For I have sworn by myself, saith the Lord, that Bozrah shall become a desolation, a reproach, a waste," are you listening? "And a curse, and all the cities thereof shall be perpetual wastes. I've heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent unto the heathen, saying, gather ye together and come against her and rise up to the battle. For lo, I've made thee small among the heathen." They exalted themselves, and God made them small. "He that exalteth himself shall be abased." Thus saith the word of God. "And despised among men, thy terribleness hath deceived thee." Are you getting it? And the pride of thine heart, O thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, that holdest the height of the hill, though thou shouldest make thy nest as high as the eagle, I will bring thee down from thence, saith the Lord. Also Edom shall be a desolation. Everyone that goeth by it shall be astonished, and shall hiss at all the plagues thereof, as in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the neighboring cities thereof, saith the Lord. No man shall abide there, neither shall a son of man dwell in it. Now, listen, I hate the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, but that's not all that was going. You know what was all rooted in? This is the sin of thy sister Sodom. Pride. Look it up in Ezekiel. Fullness of bread and abundance of idleness. My heart breaks when I go, when I went around that kind of situation, the little children marching in the streets. That's souls that Christ died for. And every one of those Sodomites Christ died for. There ain't a one that Christ didn't love and die in their place. But you know what they call them? Pride Month. Mm-hmm. Some of you have been celebrating it for years.
Uh-oh. Come on.
You're not a Sodomite. I didn't say you's a Sodomite. I didn't say you's an abomination. But you've been celebrating pride for years in your heart. I'm not going to talk to Brother John. I'm not going to let him reason with me out of the scriptures. I'm not going to stay up with these preachers, amen, and let them take the word of God and reason with me. Listen, I've got all the answers, amen. Some people, amen, they hear me preach. They hear a little saying. They cut me off. They don't hear one other thing that I say. It's offended their pride, and they don't hear another thing that I say. The whole message. You are welcome. God's men are not, I'm not talking about not being a gentleman, but we ain't supposed to be just, listen, creating theories and influencing people except by this book. And when we have to call this book, amen, it all goes out the window. All our character's gone. We have to call the scriptures. He said, no man shall abide there, and neither shall a son of man dwell in it. Total desolation. Mm-hmm. Behold, he shall come up like a lion from the swelling of Jordan against the habitation of the strong. But I will suddenly make him run away from her. And who is a chosen man that I may appoint over her? For who is like me? And who will appoint me the time? And who is that shepherd that will stand before me? Therefore, hear the counsel of the Lord that he hath taken against Edom, and his purposes that he hath purposed against the inhabitants of Teman. Surely the least of the flock shall draw them out. Surely he shall make their habitations desolate with them. The earth is moved at the noise of their fall, at the cry of the noise thereof was heard in the Red Sea. And just like God said, was it the book of Ezekiel? He said, take this word, throw it in the river and let it sink like a stone, buddy. It's going to be just that way.
Come on.
Now, God did not let Esau get by, Edom get by. How do you think you're going to get by? They were a whole nation. They were a whole host of people. If you're saved, God's not going to let you get by. I'm glad He don't. I'm glad the Holy Ghost, as a believer, amen, the Holy Spirit, amen, reigns me in.
Amen.
Whoa! You?
Yes, sir.
Amen. I act pretty silly sometimes, I'm telling you. Is that the Holy Spirit's feeling? Without the Holy Spirit's feeling of the Holy Spirit. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, ma'am, He leads us and guides us into all truth. I ain't preached you, amen, what a book said other than a book right here. This book right in front of me. Amen. Let me give you a few more scriptures and I'm going to be done. The Bible says again, Psalm 73, verse number 6. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Proverbs 16, 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. The word haughty has to do with proud and disdainful. Somebody might think, who's this hick up here in North Carolina preaching? Sounds like a hick, amen, up here in New York. Disdainful people.
Right, that's right. That is.
You know the mountains where I was from, amen. Brother Dan, all them fellas, amen, years ago, none of them had any book learning or education. They barely could read a King James script, amen, much less, amen, make a pretty message. But they preached what they knew. And they knew God had saved them. And they knew they need to tell people, flee the wrath to come. And God used them. You're welcome. Disdainful, having a high opinion of oneself, with some contempt for others, lofty and arrogant. That's what haughty means. The Bible says, Proverbs 21, verse 4, a high look and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Proverbs 28, 25, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife.
Come on. What are we having?
Now, I'm not having, and I'm not, listen, I'm not jealous or apologizing, but I'm not having anybody. There's nobody crazy enough, amen, to have me to be a pastor. And as far as I know, I never have, will have that desire. But I'm going to tell you one thing, friend. You better watch what you say about a preacher man.
Yes, sir.
And if you get in your little clique tonight, amen, and I have read you, I don't know, read and quoted you, I don't know how many scriptures out of the Word of God about pride. And listen, I'm going to tell you, get together with your little clique and on your stupid little device. I said stupid. Brother Hardin said, you need, Brother Rose, you need to quit saying that. Amen. You need, I'm trying to break myself. Amen. Calling people stupid. On your stupid device, amen, and throw off on the redneck you heard in New York, amen, preach on pride. I'll tell you what the problem is. You're the one that's full of pride stirring up strife. The Bible's undescribed you. You want that reference? Proverbs 28, verse 25. Won't you memorize that? The Bible says, 1 John 2, 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the next page is blank, so that means I'm done.
Amen. Amen.
Stay right where you are, Pastor.
I used to have on my mirror in my workplace, I managed a bunch of men in my own home. There's a sign that said this: "You are now looking at the person who is most liable to destroy God's perfect plan for your life."
Amen.
Okay?
Now, amen.
Guess who's going to destroy this meeting for you and see to it you don't get anything out of it? That person you're going to look at in the mirror.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, you're thinking it's somebody else. That's what bitterness is. Well, let's borrow Brother Rose's word. Bitterness is for people too stupid to realize that God's guided their life, and sometimes things happen to change their life, okay? Because maybe God wanted to take their life over and run it, and so for the rest of their life, they keep looking backwards and missing everything in front of them.
Amen.
Okay? That's all they do. We have a lot of people whose pride isn't really thinking about what Brother Rose said. It's what would Father think if I agreed with Brother Rose?
Yep.
Okay? What would my uncle think if I responded to that?
Yeah.
They're more worried about what someone else would think if they responded to this than what's going on between them and God. I read the story of a young man in Scotland during the mid-1700s who was working in an accountant's office. He was a dandy young man from a good family, and he made a mistake in the accounting sheet. Rather than go up there and lose his job and admit, "I made a mistake," he tried to cover it up. The problem is, after he covered it for a year or so, when it got caught, he was accused of theft. And the penalty in Scotland for theft was to be hanged by the neck until you're dead. He hadn't really stolen. He was just too proud to admit his mistake. And then it went on too long. And he couldn't believe, out of all the young dandies that he was involved with, that he's in a jail. And he couldn't believe that he's been condemned to death. And they sent, in those days, they sent a hearse to pick up the condemned sinner. And you'd sit in that black thing. And an old Scottish preacher asked, "Can I sit with him as he goes there? I want to talk to him." Now, John Wesley won many a man condemned to death to the Lord. He used to go into the jails everywhere he was. They'd hang him every Saturday. You'd get Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you'd get convicted. Saturday, they'd hang four or five people, okay? And he'd go into those jails and deal with them. He said many a man in weeping came to repentance, received Jesus Christ. That Scottish preacher is trying to tell that boy he's got about 30 minutes to live. And all that boy was worried about was pulling the shades. "I don't want my friends to see me." Pulling the shades. "I don't want my friends to see me."
Yeah.
"No, I don't want them to see you in here, though." You know, and he never did get to really talk to him. But you know what? The Holy Ghost didn't get to talk to some of you tonight.
Oh, my.
He tried. Tried real hard to talk to some of you. Okay? But you keep pulling those curtains because you're worried what mama would think. What would mama think if I said that I might be lost? Okay? What would my dad think if I succumbed to what's going on in this church? Because you have a paper mache Jesus that dominates your home. And it looks real good on a flannel graph, but it doesn't work in life. And that's why it doesn't bother you to run your mouth on the man of God. Because it doesn't offend your paper from the shade of Jesus. And then you go and take the Lord's table. Oh, right? You know one of the great blessings to having Pastor Hain here? Because God absolutely demands that you hold the man of God in high regard. absolutely demands that you give him double honor.
Amen.
And I'm like the Apostle Paul. I don't want that for myself. And yet I need to train you to do that. And God has been so gracious to allow us to pour that out on this man.
Amen.
And let me tell you something. He gets far less than what he ever earned for all the years he's put in the ministry. Okay? This is a small little church to try to take care of all the things. As the Apostle Paul said, those things that were lacking in other places, okay? It's a small little church to be able to do that. And you know that I have never, ever asked for that stuff for myself. And you know that. Yet I have a job to tell you to do it. Okay? I have a job to tell you to do it. And God was good enough to bring this man along.
Yes.
But there's some of you, you have no fear to tear me up on your drive home.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a bit of fear. It doesn't bother you.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't bother your paper mache Jesus.
Mm-mm.
Doesn't bother him at all. Yeah. Doesn't bother you to talk about Dale Morey. The miracles God's done in his life. And you know what part of the miracle is? We've gotten to watch him fall on his face over and over and over. You can't believe the mistakes he's made. You cannot believe how many times he's grieved the Spirit of God. And just a young man getting saved 12 years ago, okay? And how many times he's done things and brought reproach on the name of God. And there's people here, we just like to eat him. Reason, break this strong. He's nothing. He's nothing, all right? But God decided that God in him was so good.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
God decided that God in him was something. Okay? That's what God decided. God in him is something. And you know what? It's wrought great miracles. It's wrought great things. And yet it doesn't bother people to run their mouth. Doesn't bother him. We'll have the Lord's table. Doesn't bother him. Just take it. Okay? Sometimes, I had to tell a fellow by the name Ed Munt. His name got brought up. But I had to one time go up to him and apologize to him for God. I said, Ed, God thought so little of you, he sent me to be the pastor.
Come on.
I've listened to your complaints, and I've listened to things you said, and I've decided to take you at face value. And I said, I just think from God I need to apologize, all right? I just need to apologize that God thought so little of you, all right, that he would send me to be your pastor.
Hey, what do you say to that, all right? What do you say? All right?
Who's going to destroy this meeting for you?
That's it.
Well, that's it. Thank you, Randy. Randy raised his hand. All right? Thank God for that. And I think a lot of you raised your hand in your own heart, and you realize if anybody's going to destroy this meeting for you, it'll be you that does it. Okay? It'll be you that does it. Brother Rose, thank you very much. Okay? No boilerplate. Okay? Boilerplate, so the guy just gets up and gives his normal speech, that kind of thing. And I've had to do that. I've had to get up someplace I didn't have really much anointing, just get up and say my normal things over and over. No boilerplate like that. I'm straight from the heart of God. That's me.
Amen. Amen. We heard about your daddy being upset, your mama being upset, an uncle, a friend.
Maybe the person you